I have a little case of stage fright this morning, because I didn't realize. Well, I'll explain it a little bit later on the news, according to me. Well, a fine, happy Monday morning to you all. It is November 8th, 2021 at, I guess it's 8:23, I believe. Let's double check. I think it's still 8:23. Normally this would be 9:23. We have this extra hour to deal with, thanks to the powers that be deciding that we need to move our clocks around, I guess. I just move mine around from room to room. That way they're supposed to, you know. We fall back, apparently, this time of year because they think that's what we need to do. They have all these excuses and reasons for doing it. Believe me, there's more political stuff going on than you realize. This is all about lobbying and people making money doing this. But it's pretty deep. I'm not going to get into it. What I am going to get into is what's in my cup. And it is hot chocolate this morning. I got hot chocolate with some Almond Joy creamer in it. It's pretty decent. But it's also not good for my throat. Apparently, I have a little bit of an allergy. I didn't realize I had any allergies. I know I had some like mold allergies stuff, but mildew or whatever. There's just some stuff that causes my lungs to kind of have issues. But that's not what happened this weekend. About a week ago, I had a tree fall down across my driveway. I was not home at the time. My wife was. She was trying to get to work. It was raining. There was a storm the night before. I've got a couple hundred trees on my property, probably 140 of them at least. A couple hundred. Yeah, 140 is a couple hundred, right? So I have a whole bunch of trees. I don't know. I haven't counted them lately. I mean, if you count the small ones, in some of the areas that are not just now springing up, there probably is over 200 actual trees, but some of them are, I would say borderline between sapling and a tree. I'm not sure I would call it a tree, but there's a bunch of those. I've got some old trees that line the driveway on both sides of the driveway. It used to be you'd come down through the driveway and come through these, you know, majestic trees. Well, the trees are ash trees, and there's a moth that, it's a grub actually that becomes a moth that, gets into these ash trees, gets in between the bark and it weaves its way into the tree itself and kind of eats its way around and it kills the trees. And we probably have 8 or 9 of them on the driveway alone that are going to have to come down. Well, one of them came down on its own. It decided it was just time to come down in the storm. And, of course, it came down across the driveway to get our attention. So that's what happened one night. My wife was getting ready to head out the driveway. It was still dark outside. It was probably 6 o'clock in the morning. She was heading out the driveway. And, of course, she goes, our driveway is long enough. She can get up to about 40 miles an hour going out the driveway. Now, the driveway is not, don't get me wrong, the driveway's not very long. It's just long enough that she can get up to that speed. Fortunately, we have an all-wheel drive vehicle. I happen to be a Volvo guy. We've got 3 Volvo XC70s. 3 of them. We've owned a total of 5 now. Is that right? Yeah, 5. 2 of them were crashed. The 01, I had the longest. Both of them that we lost had over 300,000 miles on them. The 03 was crashed by my spouse. Accidental thing where it was a weird, freaky accident where the person in front of her, they were stopping she wasn't, it was in a construction zone. She wasn't going to be able to stop. So she tried to, there was only one place to go that she could not hit the person. She aimed for that spot. Well, then right at the last second, the person in front of her decided that they were going to take that spot. And they got, she had no place else to go. Ended up hitting them in the back. It was a weird, freaky deal. Of course, now when you rear-end somebody, it's of course, it's your fault. But there was, I mean, it's, and I know it's, it was just a weird, freaky deal. So that being said, the 03 was gone. Now it had over 300,000 miles on it as well. It had just gotten over 300,000 miles on it. And it was gone. They totaled it, of course. And then the 01 that we had originally purchased a long time ago. We didn't purchase it new. I think it was about, I think we got it back in 2010 or 2011, something like that. I don't know. It was almost 10 years old when we bought it. And drove it. It's the P2 chassis, for those of you who know anything about Volvos. And it was just a good car. It had some transmission issues. I got those kind of tinkered with. And it had a lot of little things, issues here and there. But I basically just changed the brakes, changed the oil, did some general maintenance on the thing. I did have to change out the EC, crankcase ventilation system on it. That was kind of a pain. To take the manifold off, which isn't all that big of a deal, really. It's kind of it looks like a major job, but it's really not that bad. I do all my own maintenance as much as I can. I do my own maintenance on everything. And so we had this car, and I was driving it to work one day. Oh, about must have been 20. Well, it was 2020, beginning of 2020. It's probably about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. Driving down the highway about 65, 70 miles an hour. And I don't recall seeing anything. All I heard was a big bang, and my hood was crumpled up in front of me. And the car was making funny noises, and I just pulled over to the side. Come to find out, I hit about a 200-pound buck. The deer was nowhere to be found. Some guy pulled up behind me, said, yeah, you hit a deer. He was behind me at the time. And then a cop showed up later, and they said it was one of the biggest ones they've seen that year. Didn't hurt any. Didn't get, come through the windshield. Didn't do any, you know, went right over the top of the car. It did smash up the front quite a bit, and I would have repaired it. I mean, I almost bought it back from the insurance company because I really seriously thought about repairing the car and keeping it going. But at the time, it was like, yeah, you know what? This thing's seen its better days, and I'm just gonna be done with it. Didn't set off the airbags or anything. They totaled it because it was just you know, the car wasn't worth that much. It had over 300,000 miles on it. It's an 01. It was almost, you know, what is it, 18 years old, 19 years old. Still looked very nice. I mean, it was still in very good condition. So I let it go. Got my wife a newer one, and then I got her, that's when I got her 07, because I got her an 07 to replace the 03. Well, then the other day, we just decided that, you know what, it's time to get a newer car. I've been driving around the 07, and she got a 2012. When I crashed the 01, I got her 07, and she was driving the 2012. I kind of like the 2012, and so I said, hey, you know what, you need a newer car. Not knowing, you know, full well that if I get her a newer car, I get her old one. So now I've got a 2015, a 2012, and an 07. But there's a plan to this madness. I'm planning on starting a business eventually with these cars. And I'll talk more about it later. But that's what I'm planning on doing. I'm going to start a service with the cars. And I'm not going to tell you what it is because somebody will steal my idea. Because you're listening to the next Elon Musk. I'm going to be a multi-trillionaire, which isn't a big deal because everybody's going to be a trillionaire because, you know, a loaf of bread's going to cost about $1 billion. So it's not really a big deal, I guess. Welcome to the Elon Musk world, all of you. Minimum wage is going to be like $1 million an hour. So we have, there's a little something, the reason I started this podcast the way I did is I'm a little bit shocked, actually, at the numbers of people who listen to this podcast. Apparently there is something screwy with the algorithm in terms of the way my analytics on the podcast. I put this on Podbean as well as a place called Castos. I started on Castos, and the reason I did that is because I can put as many different podcasts on there as I want. There's no extra charge for that. And I still have I have at least two other podcasts that I'm planning on starting. The next one I start is going to be called The Conspiracy, Evidence of Things Unseen. And it's going to be called something like that, either like the mystery of the conspiracy or the conspiracy mystery. Something to that effect is what it's going to be entitled. Most of it's going to be stories about things like, you know, just mysterious conspiracy ideas. There's everything from JFK, but also other things as well. So there's just, you know, different ideas I've got for that. But it all ties into a book that I'm also writing. The book is called The Conspiracy, but it's a question mark. The Conspiracy? And then it's the subtitle is going to be The Evidence of Things Unseen. And it is a general look at conspiracies in the past, the history of conspiracies, what a conspiracy theory is, how society has kind of redefined conspiracy theory to be kind of a whack job thing. And then to go into the modern day, where we are today with, is there a conspiracy to take over mankind and control mankind and that kind of thing. We're, you know, kind of just hitting the big thing, the world domination, world leaders, Bilderbergs, New World Order stuff. And what does the Bible have to say about it? And what's happening in the world? And I think I've got a particular perspective on it that's worth sharing. And so I wouldn't just write a book just to write a book. It seems like a lot of these guys, I don't know how they do it. Newt Gingrich has a new book out. You know, just these guys every other month. They're on the radio or TV all the time, every day, all day long. Brian Kilmeade. He's got a morning show, got a radio show. He's got a TV show. He's on Fox and Friends. And then throughout the day, he's still on the show, on Fox all day long. He's getting interviewed and talking to people, and yet he's writing books. About every month, he puts out another book. Or every 2 months at least. Mark Levin. Now, Mark Levin is a guy that I would think probably is one of those people who probably sits down at his typewriter and actually writes the book. Guy's brilliant. And I'm assuming he's got a staff that helps him compile information and put it all together, I'm sure. I don't have a staff. I don't have a rod or a staff. All I have is my little typewriter and my two dogs. And I've been so busy this summer. Has been ridiculous. This last year has been crazy. And I'm in the process of writing two books. One of them is this conspiracy one. The other one's more of a how-to book about something, but it's kind of more of a practical, it's not really a political book at all. It's just a how-to book on something. So I'm working on those two things. Now, my grandpa wrote a book, a small book. The book was entitled, The Bible Says What It Means. And it could have been subtitled, and it also means what it says. But he didn't do that. He really needed me to be the creative. I didn't know he was making a writing book. I had no idea. He did it behind my back. And it wasn't a large book. It was more like a pamphlet, but it was small, soft cover book. Probably, you know, 60 pages. But it was interesting. It was good. Good stuff. I think he was 90 years old when he wrote that. 80 something maybe. It had to be in his 80s, late 80s at least. And he, you know, he sat down at an old manual typewriter and wrote that. Had copies made and the whole thing. Well, this the algorithms, as I was saying before I sidetracked myself, before I rudely interrupted myself, the algorithms apparently in the reporting of how many people are listening to this broadcast or this podcast, whatever it is, they broadcast the podcast. It's being cast out there. Let's just put it that way. This has been extremely interesting to look at, because all of a sudden, the numbers, I happen to be able to run across a particular place where the numbers are a little bit easier to comprehend. And the numbers I've been seeing on the charts are not accurate. It's about, according to this, it's more than 10 times what I thought was being listened to. Now, I don't know why it's not getting back to the analytics on this one particular service that I use. Now, this service is supposed to show analytics of both systems that I have, and it does not. It only shows analytics on one, and apparently it doesn't show it anything via like the Facebook or anything else that's going on, which is, it's just interesting to me. So I'm a little bit, have a little bit of stage fright this morning, because I realize that there are a whole lot more people listening to this show than I thought. And I want to, this is the 255th episode, by the way. I used to have an episode in the morning and an episode in the evening. That was in the good old days when I was, I had a lot of time. Now this, over this last winter, I was able to put in two shows a day, one in the morning, one in the evening. A lot of times the evening show would have Rabbi Rick on. He has returned to work and kind of, you know, he pretty much is pretty busy. He's got family stuff going on. He hasn't been able to get on the show at all. And the other side of that was I had plenty of time. I was at my office quite a bit. I was at the home studio quite a bit. And so that worked out pretty well. I was able to still do two shows a day. Now, starting this week, this will be the early morning show. And it was going to be earlier, but I can't really get the show going unless I go to my studio at my other office. This is my home studio at my home. And then I have the office, the main facility, the headquarters, worldwide headquarters of the News According to Me. That's at a different building altogether. I got a recording studio there that I go into occasionally. And if I try to record here at home before my wife leaves for work, she has a very important job, makes a whole lot of money. That's why I don't have to work that hard. Shh, don't tell her that. It's a secret. The news or the news according to me here is not going to be broadcast early in the morning because, well, unless I got up earlier than she does, which is, wouldn't be that difficult. I could really get up and make like a really early show, which maybe might be a good idea, actually. Get this thing on in the air about 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. If I started at 6 a.m., I'd put the thing out by 7 a.m. Because I know a lot of people like to listen in the mornings. Apparently, the morning drive time is what people like to listen to this thing, because it looks like that's what's happening. And so, and on weekends, apparently Saturdays, apparently. Saturday mornings, people apparently listen to this thing. I don't know if they're mowing yard or doing yard work or what they're doing. I like to listen to this podcast, which is just, it just kind of blows my mind. So, because, you know, so far we're 20 minutes into the show and I haven't said anything. I mean, think about it. Think about the content that you've received so far. Very little. Now, normally my shows are sometimes only 15, 20 minutes long, and that's all it is content from wall to wall. you get all the content, no entertainment. This morning you get a lot of entertainment. So, you know, I think that's why people tune in, because they don't know what's going to happen next. You just don't know. It's a mystery. So we're, now the other podcast I'm going to start, the conspiracy podcast, by the way, is only going to be a short one. It's probably going to be 10 to 15 minutes long. just about every day. And then there's going to be a weekend report on Saturdays. And this is the kind of podcast that I can put together. This new podcast is the kind of podcast I can put together. I can put together 20 episodes ahead of time because it's just reporting on past stories. And then the weekend report will be, more of a live, probably a live podcast or, you know, a weekly done. I mean, the other podcasts could be recorded months ahead of time. And the weekend report would be kind of a sum up of everything that's going on in the world. I think I'm going to have to stop doing the hot chocolate thing. It seems to make my throat kind of pasty. So, we have interesting stuff in the news. Let's get to the headlines. I don't have any sounds for that. Actually, I probably do. You know, I haven't used my little soundboard here for so long. Let's see what kind of sounds I can come up with here. We've got, we got this. We've got that one. So that's helpful. Of course, whenever Nancy Pelosi walks in the room, we have, good morning, Sunday morning. Yeah, that's the kind of thing she would like to do. Now, I have some other things recorded. things like, disclaimer, got that in there. That's always helpful. I do have some interesting stuff here. Here's one. This is an oldie but a goodie. Let's get into some of this for just a moment this morning. Let's just play some of these. This is Joe Biden, back in the old days when he was running for office, and he had this famous song during the campaign. This is one of his favorite songs.
Come on.
We'll get in this.
Effective strategy to mobilize true international depression.
Come on, man. Come on.
True international depression.
Come on, man. China is going to eat our lunch. Come on, man.
Not a joke.
Yeah, you know that whole...
All your teachers out there, not that many of you are going to die, so don't worry about it.
So yeah, you know, he did make that statement. You know, China's going to eat our lunch? Come on, man. You know, when Joe says something like that, I'm beginning to get to the point where it's like, when he says stuff, I know that the opposite is going to happen or the opposite is true. So for him to say that, it's like, okay, so he says it's not going to happen. It probably is going to happen. Because everything he says seems to, the opposite seems to take place. It's like a bad Seinfeld episode. Like a bad thing on a Seinfeld episode. I don't know if there's a bad Seinfeld episode necessarily. I didn't mean it that way, but it's like a George Costanza thing. It's concerning me. He does that kind of stuff. Well, what else do we have here? We have, here's an oldie but a goodie from somebody we all love.
How dare you?
There's always that. And then the, there's this.
From the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, from the desk of Donald Trump, to you, my friend.
That's kind of, he's got this thing on his, the one website that they came out with for a while. It was there, but he was from the desk of Donald Trump. I used to read reports. That lasted about 2 weeks. I stopped doing that. And there's this, I don't know what this one is. It says TNA to me phone. What is that? Oh, this is the phone thing. Yeah, this is our phone number.
Here we go.
Yeah. This is the TNA to me singers.
574.
But wait, there's more.
Of course. 742. Well, how do you do? 6748. Text that number. It will be great.
Oh, yeah.
Don't be late. Text that number.
chase that number.
Don't be a loser.
Don't be a loser. 574-742-6748.
That's our phone number. You can call that number and leave a message if you want to. That was the advertisement for that. And then there was this one. Very similar, but there's has a little different tone to it. Very similar. Has a long intro, so I can talk over that a little bit. Then it starts in with the music here a little bit. Sit back and enjoy.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
A little off there.
It's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me, oh, it's the news.
It's the news.
According to me.
How dare you?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. How dare you pass that off as a music song, musical tune. Anyway, that's a little fun there this morning. So let's talk a little bit about some things that are happening. Project Veritas. Here we go again with the FBI. The FBI is really getting bold. And I assume part of this has got to be because they are scared out of their wits. They're either getting extremely bold because they think that they've got the immunity to do so. Maybe this vaccine has given them something more. Or they're getting extremely desperate to quell those that aren't on their side. James O'Keefe recently came on, and he has a little YouTube channel. He came on and said, the FBI has raided some associates that work for Project Veritas. Now, Project Veritas is the ones who were back during the Obama administration. They were exposing Acorn for what they were doing, the money that was being channeled through Acorn. Acorn was a huge organization, NGO, for a while, getting money from the federal government. It was the main organization for the Democrats in terms of, now I say main organization. It was one of the main organizations. The organizations that are very little known are the organizations like the unions that operate as if they are a legitimate union, but in reality, they are an arm of the Democrat Party. There's some other organizations out there that are kind of, fly under the radar, are not that visible publicly. Acorn was a very public organization. We had it was very deep into society, certain sectors of the society. I say the word society loosely because you know how I feel about that. I've talked about that before in our civilization. The interesting thing about all of that was that the money was being funded back and forth. Now, what happened to Acorn? Acorn's not around anymore, by the way. Acorn was basically broken up into about a dozen different organizations, all named other things. And Acorn itself changed its name. Now, Acorn stood for something. It was A-C-O-R-N. It stood for something, American something, something, something. And it was the primary liaison go-between from Planned Parenthood and other activist organizations with the funding that was coming from the federal government as well as other places. George Soros and other things were funding that. This was well known and publicly known. And everybody, they were getting away with it. They had this front of looking like a legitimate company, legitimate organization. And all the while, they were not at all legitimate organization. So Project Veritas went into a lot of these offices that the Acorn Agency was operating, Planned Parenthood and others. And they were talking about getting legal help and doing all kinds of things. And they were he posed as a prostitute, a pimp at one point. He had a couple prostitutes with him, or at least one. And he was getting funding and housing and all kinds of weird stuff. And they were fixing him right up with whatever he needed. Well, then anyway, so he also did some other things. He has done a lot more investigative journalism and exposed a lot more stuff than what any journalists do today. Certainly more than anybody on CNN does. CNN and MSNBC, pretty much all their shows and all their commentators, just sit back and just set up whatever emotional headlines they want to set up and run the emotional narrative that the Democrat Party wants them to do. They're not news organizations at all. They don't really report anything. They just sit behind a desk and read a script. It's produced theater. Fox News is not far behind on that, by the way. Newsmax and NTD, what is it called? Whatever it is. Epic News, Epic Times. Those are legitimate journalistic news organizations. They actually dig into things. And Newsmax is not as much as Epic Times what is it? Oh, something on news, American News. One American News, that's what it is. OAN, One American News. Is pretty good too. And NTD is a subsidiary, I think, of one of those. So there are some decent alternative news organizations out there. Well, apparently a while back, I think this was actually during the campaign, Ashley Biden, Joe Biden's youngest daughter, apparently, his kids are all messed up, by the way. His kids are a mess. Now, you could get into psychoanalyzing why. There are certain types of issues that a lot of kids have when their parents are messed up or when their parents have messed them up, when they've had certain abusive types of situations that they've grown up in. This is well known. The propensity of issues have a tendency to... I'm not saying if you've got kids who have trouble or have issues that you're the one who messed them up. Trust me on this. I know how much parents blame themselves when their kids make bad decisions. Some parents do. A good parent will do that. They wonder what it is that they did that caused the problem. They don't look to blame anybody else. It's the parents that blame everybody else that typically are the ones that can't point the finger at themselves or even look introspectively at all to figure out if they did something, to realize that they weren't the perfect parent. Guess what? There aren't any. So the interesting thing about this is that his son, totally messed up kid, still at his age, still messed up. Now they're covering for him now, and they got him on a pretty, they got to keep him reined in quite a bit right now because they don't want anything to happen while Joe's in the White House. Now, even though he went out and did this goofy looking artwork and all of a sudden got like $500,000 for it. No, there wasn't any payola there. Wasn't anything going on there, nefarious, under the table. All we heard about for 4 years was emoluments under the Trump administration. The absolute sanctimonious, disingenuous, self-righteous hypocrisy that is on the left is absolutely unbelievable. If For instance, if Donald Trump would have pooped his pants while visiting the Pope, or flatulated the way Joe Biden did in front of royalty in England, which that actually did happen, by the way. The I don't know about the poopy pants thing, but apparently that did too. It's more and more. I didn't want to believe that beginning, and I hate to talk about it. But apparently, there's a lot more legitimacy to these stories than what we originally. Now, of course, the news media is not going to talk about it. If that was Donald Trump, he would have been impeached for it. It would have been on the news 24/7, 25/8. They never would have let that go. All you would have heard about was how disgusting he was and how he needs to be removed from office because he can't even control himself. That's all you would have heard about. I guarantee you, these stories probably 90% of my... At first I was like, yeah, 10%. Yeah, maybe it happened. The more I'm looking into it, and where the sources are coming from and why they know about it, this makes more sense now. And it actually probably did happen. Now, at his age, I understand it. I get it. Whatever, poor guy, whatever happened to him. Now, I did find out also, one of the things that makes sense now is that this medication they've got him on for his... mental acuity, the medications that he's taking, apparently one of the side effects is oily discharge and uncontrollable intestinal stuff going on. Diarrhea type stuff. Apparently that's a problem. And, of course, when they send him to a world conference, they've got him loaded on that stuff. Of course, they up his medication because they want him, you know, to be able to try to get through a day and have some kind of, you know, acuity. But that's the downside of it is, you know, he can't control his, you know. So that apparently did happen. Now, on to this FBI thing with the Veritas thing. Apparently, and this is the sad part about this. Now, nobody stops to think about this, but people are starting to catch on here now. First of all, somebody brought this diary to James O'Keefe, to Project Veritas. Project Veritas could not verify the validity of the diary from Ashley Biden. This diary contains stuff that is creepy and weird and really, it is the kind of stuff that would, let's just say if you were Ashley's father, you'd be in jail. And because of this, the family denied that it was legitimate because they offered to return it. They didn't want it. That's not ours. That's fake. Well, then the FBI got involved and went after the associates of James O'Keefe and Project Veritas, raided the homes, raided at least two homes, looking for the diary. Now, if you listen to this whole story told by James O'Keefe, they didn't want to publish it and they were trying to return it and even offered it to law enforcement. Now, apparently this thing was stolen. I don't know who stole it and who they stole it from. But the FBI has gotten involved in this, in a diary. And they raided these homes. Now, here's where it starts. Look, the FBI Okay, first of all, then last night, I read a story that said that they had just raided the home of James O'Keefe. It was like 24 hours after they raided these other homes. And James O'Keefe came out and said that he read the statement that they gave him a statement that they gave him, basically said, we're requesting that you do not discuss this case because it's an ongoing investigation and we'd like to have it, keep it, you know, confidential. Okay. Why is it confidential? Who's being protected? Is the fact that the FBI is getting involved in this, does that mean it is a legitimate? It really is Ashley's diary? Why would the FBI be getting involved in a phony? They didn't seem to be too interested in a phony dossier other than to use it to go after Trump. And we're finding out more and more about that every day. Of course, that's not on the mainline legacy media. They're not talking about that at all because it makes them look stupider. Because for 4 years, all they said was that Trump colluded with Russia to win the election. They're still saying it. A lot of Democrats still believe it. It has been debunked and debunked and debunked again, and now we're finding out the criminal activity and the real collusion that was going on was with the Hillary campaign. A lot of the stuff that was in the dossier was created by people who are in her campaign. And there's more indictments coming, apparently. Not that I will be holding my breath until any of those people are perp walked and put in jail. That's not going to happen. But this is the SOP. This has become standard operating procedure for the FBI. They're going to go. The reason they're mad that somebody else has this diary is because they've got evidence on something that they could be holding on and manipulating Joe with. These alphabet soup organizations now exist only to protect themselves and their existence. They want to be too important to dismantle or too big to fail. Now you stop and think about this. I've often wondered how this works. And if we can't trust these people, and I can't, I'm done trusting the FBI and the many other organizations, at least the people at the top. But you have to remember, I always hear this from, you know, newscasters. Well, you know, the guys in the field, the workers out there in the field, I trust them, but it's the people at the top. Who do you think they take their orders from? The field agents take their orders from guys at the top. A lot of times they'll go raid something just thinking that that's what we're supposed to do. So where did they get a warrant? This is what gets me about this whole thing. FBI does not have carte blanche to just bust into your home any more than any other law enforcement officer does without a warrant, and that warrant can't be retained without probable cause. Now, keep in mind, they came into James O'Keefe's home and raided it. Who knows what they took? I'm assuming they took any computers and hard drives. That's what they want. They want to come in and take your computers and hard drives. This is what happened in Alaska. Someone who had attended the January 6th event didn't even go inside. But someone who had, I think someone who just looked like this lady, apparently the facial recognition thing screwed up and got this other lady recognized, and they thought that was her. They showed her a picture when they were there. And they come in, they bust into your home, they start raiding everything. They got, you know, and they set you down at the table and they're talking to you while the other officers are just taking everything in your home. They have a warrant to take all your hard drives and all your electronics. So they're going to take your computers, your hard drives, anything you've got. They come in and sweep this stuff all up. Well, she didn't go inside the building that day. But that investigation is still ongoing. They never cleared her for that. But you should hear her tell the story of the way they treated her the way they acted. And they were willing to comply and be cooperative because they thought this was, you know, has to be a mistake. We're going to clear our name here. We're going to get this. This is just a big misunderstanding. Well, no, they were not. The FBI wasn't having it. There was no way that she was going to be able to convince them that they were innocent until proven guilty. And this is the way they come in and operate. And this is exactly what they did in these two cases as well. And what they do is they sweep in, they take everything. I guarantee you they're copying all this information. They're copying his hard drives, copying everything. And they're forensically going to, you know, look at everything that's been deleted. He may never get that stuff back. I hope he's got it all. I'm sure, knowing James, I'm sure he's probably got everything backed up and everything's very well documented. He's not, this isn't his first rodeo. But who knows what other investigations he had going on that they're going to know about now. And somehow, the news media finds out about this stuff. When they went to swoop in on Roger Stone, the old man in the middle of the night, came out in his pajamas and they had helicopters and all kinds of stuff there to take him away. When they do that stuff, they sweep in, and all of a sudden, the news media is there with them, embedded. And of course, it's not Fox News. It's, you know, MSNBC or NBC or CBS. Somehow they found out about it. I'm going to give you guys the scoop on this. Tell me there's no backroom deals going on there. Somebody's connected to that. This is corruption at the highest levels of our law enforcement agencies. And there's got to be some accountability. I guarantee you, one day there will be. I'm very much aware of how Judgment Day is going to go. I have contemplated and meditated on this for many hours of my life. Thinking about the day that everybody stands before God and the books are opened. One of the things that Jesus said that just sends chills down my spine sometimes. Every idle word. Every idle word. Every detail of everything you say, everything you do, will be judged. Now, for those of you who are covered in the Lamb's blood, all that stuff that you've done is going to be glory in testimony of the power of His blood. But for those of you who've decided not to accept that sacrifice and go it on your own, there is no hope but that. That is the only hope there is. So I guess all I can say is good luck to you. If you don't believe in luck, well, that's all you've got. Because one day, all the lying mouths, all the arguments and the bickering and the backbiting, back-talking, conniving, lashing out of the tongues is going to be silenced. God will have the final word. And I know it will be a dreadful day. But it is a day I'm looking forward to. For the sake of righteousness. And I shudder at what's going to happen to these people It's either justice now or justice then. And I think, as he said, it's better to fall on the rock and be broken than to have the rock fall on you. We're not doing people any justice. I watched a documentary about this guy who was involved in human trafficking, and he was supposed to get 5 years in prison for doing what he did. He was selling people into slavery, basically. And the court system got him, and they arrested him, and they were going to put him in jail for 5 years, minimum of 5 years in prison. Judge gave him 5 years probation. That's not justice. The woman that he basically kidnapped and sold into slavery in another country was another man's wife. And what they did to her over the 8 months that they had her and then to say he can just walk for 5 months, he gets a slap on the hand. Doesn't get arrested for it. Or not, you know, no, that's not punishment. They should lock him up in a room in prison and just, well, not going to go there. I'm glad I'm not God, because I'm afraid I'm not as full of mercy. But there has to be justice, because without justice, mercy is unjust. Oh, I'm not going to go too far down the theological rabbit hole, but let's talk about some other headlines. Got a little bit of time left in the show, and go on with this a little bit. The interesting, I've been hearing people say this recently. Governor Newsom, who's always in the news, the governor of California, loves to be on the news every day and talk. He just got his booster jab here recently. Now, we're not being told about all the injuries that are happening from these shots. I guarantee you we're not. I'm hearing that there are more and more people trying to start groups that are just able to talk about, hey, anybody else having adverse effects from the shots or in the boosters, they're being wiped from the internet. Facebook will not allow them to have a Facebook page. Twitter is, you know, banning them, expunging them. And you have to wonder what the numbers are now. And of course, anybody who does get an issue typically won't even say anything because they're, you know, oh, well, it must have just been me. Oh, I just had a bad reaction. Oh, something happened, whatever. And you have no idea how many there are. And the CDC probably does know. But my guess is there's even a lot of doctors, the way I understand it, aren't reporting. They don't even know where to report adverse reactions. So some of the doctors have said, well, the place where we're supposed to go to report this stuff, it's not taking anything. There's no place to put it. There's no records being kept on adverse reactions. Now, the problem that a lot of people who require, like pilots and DOT people, who, you know, truck drivers, that kind of thing, those people who are required to have a medical, there are certain disabilities you can't have. If you have to have full function of your arms and legs and fingers, unless you have a waiver. And there has to be a certain percentage of use of your hands and feet and arms and all those things in order to, operate the controls of the vehicle that you're operating, the machine you're operating, in order for you to have a physical, a license like a first class or a third class or DOT physical, whatever it is you're doing. Well, the problem is that some of these shots are causing problems with that. And you could literally lose your flight physical. You'll be alive. You won't be dead. But you won't have to, you won't have any means of doing work. And of course, you can't sue because they are exempt from any kind of lawsuits. How convenient. And of course, when the government's requiring it, what are you supposed to go, you know, what are you supposed to do about that? Well, apparently the governor hasn't been seen for about the last 12 days, or since he's had the shot. People are starting to ask the questions. What happened to him? Where is he? He made a big deal about getting the booster, and what happened? Now I don't know. They say I think one of the vaccine instructions, where it was either Pfizer or somebody, I don't know who it was saying how the you're supposed to basically kind of quarantine for a while after you've had the booster shot, any of the shots, because there's a certain amount of vulnerability you have within so many hours or so many days after the shot, I guess, or something to that effect, until it, while your body is doing its thing. I don't know what that's all about. I remember one of the, I don't know if it was J&J or who it was that was saying, you should be, should take 48 hours or whatever. 11 days is more than 48 hours, by the way. So I don't know what's going on with that. That's kind of odd. Now, speaking of COVID, there's a federal court now that apparently has put a stop on the OSHA vaccine ban or mandate. There are grave statutory and constitutional issues. That's what they said. That's what the quote says that they were doing. Now, here, everybody's all hopeful for this. All this does is stops it initially. And, everybody's all hopeful about it. Now, please understand, I'm all for settling this too, getting it over with and settling it. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Supreme Court, and I don't have a lot of confidence in some of the federal courts. Once they make a decision, now we have precedence. And if they go the wrong, this can go either way. It can still go either way. All we will have is, ultimately, we will have some kind of decision made. Be it good or bad, we're going to have to be willing to live with it. Now, if it's a good one and they say, no, it's unconstitutional, there are some emergency powers that they're operating under that give them the right to make mandates like this. However, there's also reasons for having religious exemptions that they have to allow reasonable accommodations for. Now, there was recently a guy in the Democrat Party that was being, they were having this conversation among lawyers in the administration. And this was in the Biden administration, actually, not the Democratic Party, but they were in the Biden administration. They were basically saying, they were overheard, and I think they were recorded on a line having a phone conversation, saying, there's really not much we can do about this. We can't, if anybody has a religious exemption, we can't hold that. We can't stop that. We can't deny it. Now, the way they're getting around this is by making the employers make that decision. Employers don't know the law that well. They're making those decisions. So you're by asking for a religious exemption from your employer, you're putting them in a position to find out whether or not you have a sincere belief. They're putting themselves in the position of deciding whether or not your religion, first of all, is legitimate, and whether or not you're sincere about it. If I were a cussing man, there are a few choice words I would use to let you know how I feel about that. I guess the only thing I can say, I would have to quote an incredible scholar, one of the brilliant minds of our time.
How dare you?
That's what I would say. There is not a government-sponsored, government-approved religion in this country. I can start my own religion today, and it can be the religion against COVID vaccine. That is my religion. I meet every week, and I sacrifice a syringe in honor of my right, my belief in the vaccine being the devil. What are you going to say? Oh, that's not a real religion. Oh, well, neither is the Catholic Church. It doesn't matter how many people believe it or how many people follow it or how many followers they have or how long it's been around. There's nothing in the Constitution about that. It has to be an established religion that the government recognizes. No. It's quite the opposite, actually. And I don't want to put my employer in that position. I still contend that this is a civil rights issue. Now, they can say, well, of course, we don't have the right to give you, you know, you have the right to refuse to get the vaccine. But you don't have the right to work. That's what they're saying. They're basically saying, well, it's your choice. So you're going to lose your job, but it's your choice. You don't have to get the vaccine, but it's your choice. You can get the vaccine and keep your job, or you can lose your job and not get the vaccine, but it's your choice. That's a choice you have. Recently saw a little video of a lady on an airplane who was not wearing a mask, who was throwing a tizzy fit because they were making her sit next to somebody that was unvaccinated. And she was throwing this fit. She said, I have asthma. I can't wear a mask. You wouldn't know she had asthma with the way she was screaming at the flight attendant. Flight attendant basically, it was a full flight. There was no other seat. She said, you have to move me. I can't be at risk. I'm going to be at risk because I'm sitting next to a person who's unvaccinated. This is incredibly ignorant, first of all. But this is the hysteria that we have in this country. If you're unvaccinated, you're sick. You're carrying the virus. And you're a threat to the society because Biden said this is a pandemic of the unvaccinated. I have the right to kill you with my COVID. That's what he's saying about unvaccinated people. Now, there's also some other things here that, what was it? Where was it? There was a headline. Interesting headline. I can't find it now. There was something about to the effect of if you're not vaccinated, you will not be able to. Oh, here it is. Colorado governor signs an order to allow unvaccinated people to die without medical treatment. They give preferred status to the vaxxed. This is where we're headed. You can be tested and not have COVID, but because you don't have the vaccine, you know, just by happen chance, you also don't have COVID. That's not what's important anymore. It's whether or not you have the vaccine. Can you get COVID if you've been vaccinated? Well, let's ask Jen Psaki. Circleback Psaki recently got COVID. I guarantee you she's been vaccinated and probably boosted. But she got it. And here's the problem that we run into with this. And this is where the science comes into play, and they're ignoring this completely. If you've been vaccinated and you have the virus, and this comes straight from the mouth of Dr. Fauci, you have the same viral load as someone who's not been vaccinated if you're carrying the virus. The same viral load. You can, in other words, you can spread this just as easily as someone who has not been vaccinated. The problem is you're more likely to be asymptomatic. You don't have any symptoms. Nothing shows. You could have it and not know it and be carrying the virus. You are the super spreader. You are the one who's more dangerous in society. The person who's not been vaccinated probably is going to have symptoms and could possibly be deadly symptoms for that person. And unfortunately, that's part of the problem here, is that it's more dangerous for the person who's not been vaccinated. But if you've been vaccinated, what are you so scared of? I'm more scared of you because you could be carrying it and not know it. Along that line, there's also something else coming up. It's called ADE, antibody something, something. Like, what is it? I've got it here somewhere. Antibody something. Yeah, it's here. I'll find it. It's really important to know this. ADE, it's called. It's right here. I'm sure it's right here somewhere. It's right here. I had it right here. What happened to it? Antibody. There it is. Dependent enhancement. Antibody dependent enhancement. What this is a, the more these boosters go on, now they're saying that within 6 months, you're down to less than 50% effectiveness of the vaccine. The problem is the cytotoxicity, and there's two different kinds of toxicity that this virus, that the vaccine creates. I'm not a doctor. I'm just going by what I've been told. Dr. Malone had this in spades. He called this a long time ago. He was concerned that they were using cytotoxicity and not the spike protein to actually, and what that means is that your body is not developing natural immunity. In fact, they believe that the vaccine may be causing your body to, it may be affecting the memory B cells in a way that you will never develop an immunity to this thing. You will be vaccine dependent as time goes on, and as the vaccine wears off, let's say 2 years down the road from now, if you didn't take any boosters, didn't do anything, and you got COVID, even though you would have been fine with COVID before, you probably wouldn't have died. Now your body will not create any antibodies because it's been dependent on the cytotoxicity from the vaccine. That's the theory that's the way I understand it. I could be completely off on that. Antibody-dependent enhancement. In other words, your body now depends, not the kind of depends that Joe should be wearing. Probably does wear them, I suppose. They've got to know. He's got to be wearing those all the time. Because, you know, he can't have an accident. And they've got to know he's prone to them. This thing with the Pope was not the first one. But I digress. Folks, it's been real. It's been good. I'm going to go ahead and call this a show because it's been over an hour. Where does time go? And I'm going to, I am planning to have another show this evening. There's very good possibility. In all likelihood, there will be another show this evening. Probably going to be at the main headquarters this afternoon. And that's where the show is going to happen. So just so you know what's going on there. I will be traveling this week as well. I'm going to be up in Wisconsin, Appleton, Wisconsin area for a few days, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. I will, however, be able to have a show every day, every morning. I'm planning on putting out a show and possibly even in the evening. Actually, this whole week, with the exception of tomorrow night, tomorrow morning will be fine. Tomorrow afternoon, evening was going to be a little bit tough to get a show out unless it's early afternoon. That's a good possibility that I may be able to have a show put out at that point. Otherwise, it's going to be very late in the evening. So it's either going to be an early afternoon show. I might do that. I might do an early afternoon show with a I might just postpone it to when it's posted later in the day. So the plan is to get them out before 9 o'clock in the morning, which is, that didn't happen this morning. And then, Eastern time anyway. And then to get one out by 5 or 6 o'clock in the evening. That's the plan. So with all of that being said, there's so much more I could say. So many more headlines that really are worth talking about. But, alas, I have no more time. I don't want to take any more of your time. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate how many people. I'm shocked at the numbers of people that listen to this podcast, and I'm very appreciative of that. I look forward to doing more shows and having more conversation. Please subscribe and share this podcast with others if you enjoy it yourself, because I'm sure that there's other people just like you, a little bit like you, that would like to listen to this podcast as well. So, in the meantime, keep your pants clean, and God bless. Really, seriously, pray for our leaders, pray for all those in power, pray for justice. Thanks a lot for listening.